God's a good God. He's a God of opportunities. He wants to see us, listen, interested in life. He wants to see us exciting about life. When people who call themselves Christians are bored with life and sort of dissatisfied, living in a rut, there's something wrong with your vision. Around you, in front of you, there are opportunities to do things, listen, that would turn your life inside out, upside down, and right side up.
Today on In Touch, when opportunities appear.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying,
Toda potestad me es dada en el cielo y en la tierra.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are continually being confronted with all kinds of opportunities, and yet a lot of folks just walk right through life and miss most of them for the simple reason they're not looking. They're not expecting. They sort of see themselves as sort of outside the realm of the blessings of God, and maybe once in a while they'll sense a little bit. That's not the way life is. Because you see, God gives us opportunities to guide us and to lead us. He also makes our life very interesting and exciting as a result of opportunities, because nobody likes sameness. Sameness creates a dullness. And when we have opportunities that challenge us, they oftentimes stretch us, we begin to be excited about things in life that we didn't even know existed. And of all the people who ought to be sensitive to opportunities, God's children should be. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, giving us direction. He's the one who gives us a spiritual eye to see these things that other people do not see. And when you think about the fact that you and I have trusted Christ as our Savior, He is our very life. We're going to heaven when we die, but He has an exciting life down here before He takes us home, because we have the privilege of walking with Him, living with Him, listening to Him, absorbing Him, understanding Him, getting a glimpse of what God is really all about. You say, well, you know, now I've been a Christian a pretty good while, but I never thought about having all these opportunities. Well, you do. And what I want to do in this message is give you a series of opportunities from the Scripture that will give you an idea that maybe you're missing some opportunities in your life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, so far you have missed the most important opportunity you will ever have. And I trust that before this time is over, you'll make a decision. You'll take advantage of the opportunity of trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul, in this chapter, has been talking about the Christian life and how to live a godly life. And he talks about walking in love. And the life that we used to live is a life of walking in darkness. And that we're not to participate in the life of darkness any longer. So he comes down to this 15th, 16th, 17th verses that I want to mention a couple of things about. He says in verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk. And when he uses the term walk, it's a term which simply means to walk about. That is, it's a way of life for you. He says, be careful how you live out your life. Not as unwise men and women, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, when he says making the most of your time, there are two Greek words in the Scripture for time. One of them is chronos, which is like your watch. And there are watches that have some of that name in them. And then kairos, which is simply a matter of an opportunity. Make the most of your opportunities, what he's saying, which of course is your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now I want to say something I'm going to say probably after every point in this message. And that is, we are to be careful how we walk. We're to be wise about our decisions, and we're to be alert to opportunities. We're to be wise about how we make decisions. We're to be alert to our opportunities, because many people live in the midst of opportunities every day and never somehow are able to recognize them. They think of opportunities as making lots of money or having a new house or going here and going there. There are opportunities in life that are far more important than those. And if you miss them, you're going to miss some of the most exciting times in your life. And if your life is boring and you sort of settle down into a rut, it's because your eyes are closed, because you're not being able to see what God has right before you. And I trust that in this passage and these passages, you'll begin to see some opportunities that maybe you've been overlooking. And once you begin to get engaged and seize these opportunities, your life is going to be exciting. And I want to turn to all of these passages are familiar on purpose. I try to choose the ones that I think most people would be conscious of. And so I want to begin with the first one in John chapter 6, if you'll turn there. John chapter 6, and it's a passage that most people are familiar with. And it just so happens this is the only miracle that Jesus performed that's found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so if you'll notice, beginning in this first verse, Scripture says, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to Tiberias, trying to get away from the crowds a little bit. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountains, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. So Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in the number which was about 5,000. So if you add all the ladies to that, it had a big crowd. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is true of the prophet who has come into the world." They say, "Well, what's that got to do with opportunities?" Well, let's think about it for a moment. Here's this huge crowd of people, men and women, and Jesus, being sensitive to who they were and what was going on, said, "We've got to feed these people." And so Philip said, "Well, it would take 200 denarii. That wouldn't even do it." Well, a denarii was worth 17 cents, which was a day laborer's salary, and it would take 8 months just to get 200. So that wouldn't work. And so then Andrew says, "By the way, there's a lad here, and looking around and talking to the people, he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." And so Jesus said, "Well, why don't you bring him over here?" So Andrew went to find the young lad, and so he said to him, "The master would like to have your 5 loaves and 2 fish." Now, loaf was just a round barley loaf made out of the cheapest kind of wheat, and I'm sure his mother had prepared it for him before he left home that morning, and 2 little fish, which were more like hors d'oeuvres because they've been pickled, because they didn't know how long they were going to be out there in this hot weather and so forth. So he brings them to Jesus, and Jesus must have had a little conversation with him and probably talked to him as he would a young lad like that, and said to him, "You know, I'd like to have this in order to feed these people." And of course, he wouldn't have possibly understood that. So Jesus blessed it, and he began to break it. And that little boy sat there and watched them and the disciples break bread until finally they fed everybody in the whole crowd. Now you say, "Well, what's that got to do with opportunities?" Think about this. When that little boy left home that morning, The only thing he knew is he was going to find Jesus, and he wanted to be in the crowd. He wanted to hear what he had to say. And so little did he realize that on this day, he would experience the greatest opportunity of his lifetime. But he didn't know that. And so when Jesus asked for his bread and his fish, and he gave it to him, and he began to multiply it, he saw a miracle take place right before his eyes. Think about this. He had the opportunity to give Jesus something that Jesus could use. He had the opportunity of watching a miracle take place. He had the opportunity of watching all these people fed because of his little five loaves and his two fish. Can you imagine that he ran all the way home to tell his mother? He must have ran as fast as he possibly could. You will not believe what I saw. Now, that's a simple opportunity, but look what happened. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the little boy who had five loaves and two fish. Why? Because he took advantage of an opportunity. He could have kept the five loaves and two fish for himself. He could have. But he said, no, I'm willing to give them up. He had the opportunity to give away something that he had. And watch what happened. And what happened was that God performed a miracle. And he performed a miracle right in front of that little lad. He would never see anything to match that in his entire life. So what did he do? He simply took advantage of an opportunity. Now, he didn't expect it, he didn't plan it, and he didn't anticipate it. And this is why I come back to that verse in Ephesians, that we are to walk in such a way that we walk a godly life, and that we are to be wise about our decisions, and we are to be, listen, alert to opportunities. And when we are, what we'll do, we'll begin to see opportunities around us that we've never seen before. We never even thought about it before. He never thought about that. He couldn't have planned that. And more than likely, you walk right by opportunities every day. You don't plan. You wouldn't know it. But there it is staring you in the face, the opportunity to do one of a number of things. What I want you to see in these passages is this. God wants us to learn to be alert to his opportunities, because one of the ways he guides us and leads us in our life is he guides us and leads us by opportunities. He gives us an opportunity to go here. We go there. We hear something that changes our life. Or we may see something that we think, well, one of these days, maybe I could possibly enjoy something like that. And God begins to open the door. You see, he creates desires within our heart. Does he not say that if we delight ourselves in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart? God's a good God. He's a God of opportunities. He wants to see us, listen, interested in life. He wants to see us exciting about life. When people who call themselves Christians are bored with life and are sort of dissatisfied, living in a rut, there's something wrong with your vision. Around you, in front of you, there are opportunities to do things that, listen, they would turn your life inside out, upside down, and right side up, because that's who he is. Listen, a bored Christian is a bad testimony. An exciting Christian is a powerful testimony. There are opportunities all around you if you stop and open your eyes and think and become alert. Alert to what God wants to do in your life, and maybe what God wants to do in somebody else's life. When you go to work tomorrow morning, you will have an opportunity. There's no question in my mind. You'll have an opportunity to say something, do something, act in a certain way that God, listen, will make you a blessing and the person or the business you help. In other words, he's full of opportunities for us. Think about this. You have 8 hours that you work, or you have 24 hours in a day. Does God just want you to sort of flounder around and walk around? No. He has opportunities that he provides for you to seize for your own good and to be a blessing. Now, there's a second passage I want you to notice here, because when I think about all these different ones, and this is certainly one that some people say, oh, he would never do that. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4 for a moment. And the day before, probably, Peter has, he's watched this awesome miracle that Jesus has performed when he was standing on the seashore trying to teach, and they were crowding him into the water. So he says, could I borrow your boat, Peter? So he said, sure. And you remember, he took him out for a little fishing trip, and the nets couldn't hold the fish. Now, on this day, Jesus walks by and says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, first of all, let's see who Peter was. Peter was a very successful fisherman. And he and Andrew together, and their friends James and John, they were successful fishermen. And the Sea of Galilee was flourishing with fish in those days. So they didn't need anything. They were very successful fishermen. So Jesus comes along and says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Wait a minute now. You want me to follow you to do what? When you say fishers of men, I know how to fish. I'm happy fishing right here. You're asking me to leave my family, to follow you without telling me where or how long or what it's going to cost. That's right. All of a sudden, Peter was facing an unbelievable opportunity. To him at first, I'm sure it was a challenge. You want me to leave everything, boats, nets, everything, and my fishing business, and follow you? How are we going to make a living? In other words, he had 1,000 questions. He was confronted with an opportunity he did not expect. He would have said, I'm totally unprepared to do this. There's no way you could be asking me to do something like this. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because God still works in the same way. He still works in the same way. He will confront you with an opportunity you're not prepared for in your thinking. He'll confront you with an opportunity that may scare you at first. So Peter had a choice to make, and he and Andrew probably, the Bible doesn't have everything in it, but more than likely, they looked at each other and thought, what's this all about? And probably they had to have a little conversation between them. Naturally, they followed him. We know that. But look at the opportunity they had. What they didn't realize was this. Peter didn't realize that this tough fisherman would one day stand in one of the most awesome sermons ever preached on a day called Pentecost, when 3,000 people were saved, which was only the beginning of what God would do in his life. And so he, on this particular occasion, he's facing this opportunity, an opportunity to follow the Son of God and to become an apostle and to be walking by his side, to defend him and to preach the truth that he was preaching and the message that he would send around the world. He would never have imagined the fact that his name would be repeated thousands and thousands and thousands of times every single Sunday in the world, worldwide. He was a fisherman. Who was he? He wasn't prepared to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus will oftentimes give you opportunities in your life that you do not feel qualified for. I didn't say you weren't qualified. I said you'd feel it. Or you don't feel like it fits you. That's what you feel. He will never give you an opportunity that he doesn't intend you to walk through. He will never intend you to walk through something he doesn't enable you to do well at it. There are opportunities all around us. And this was an opportunity to serve the Lord. And sometimes a person says, well, yeah, I go to church and, you know, I read the Bible and pray and so forth, but now don't ask me to do thus and so. Why not? And I think as I was growing up, I still remember this. It used to bother me that I went to a church where there were lots and lots of people and lots of people that I knew in the town that I lived in. And they were sitting in the same seat every Sunday. And a lot of them had a little age on them, so a lot of them didn't. And I would watch these people and think sometimes, I wonder what they're doing, because I happen to know a few of them and their business and so forth later on. And I remember on several occasions talking to the pastor, and he never named anybody, but we were talking about Sunday school teachers and workers and choir members and so forth, and how many people sitting out there wouldn't do anything. And I remember looking around and thinking, they've been sitting here 57 years and hadn't done a thing yet. Think about this. Think about people sitting in church week after week. Listen to this sermon, that sermon, this sermon, that sermon, year after year after year after year after truth after truth after truth after truth, and then say, don't call on me because I can't. It is an insult to God to listen to the truth over and over and over and over again that builds you up and strengthens you and increases your faith and gives you confidence and equips you to be what God wants you to be, and then you won't do it? You say, well, I can't do that. And you're saying to me that God has given me an opportunity. He should know better because I can't do it. God would never give you an opportunity. He will not equip you, strengthen you, enable you. All you have to do is grasp it, seize it, say yes. Remember what we said? Walking in a way that's pleasing to God, walking wisely and alert to opportunities. Peter was alert to this opportunity because what happened? He laid it all down. He followed Jesus. He took advantage of the greatest opportunity he could ever have had, and that is to be one of the close followers of Jesus Christ. He was one of the intimates, Peter, James, and John, not favorites. Favorites is one thing. Intimate is something else. When he wanted to get the small group with him, Peter was always there. He could have still been fishing if he had missed the opportunity. If he had rationalized it away, if he had said, no, I can't do that. And I'm simply saying, when God calls you to do something, it's an opportunity. It isn't just a responsibility. It isn't just a calling from God. It is an opportunity to serve the living God. Tell me something any higher in life than that. You say, well, serve him how? It doesn't make any difference what he called you to do. For example, every choir member is important, every orchestra member, every teacher. In other words, every single person is important. What he called you to do is important in the eyes of God. So, if you're alert, you're not going to be saying, well, that's not an opportunity. Yes, it is. All right, let's look at something else here. Because I just want you to see all the different kinds of opportunities that God may send your way. Now, here's one. Listen carefully. I want you to listen very carefully because you're going to think, well, what's that? Every woman in here will identify with this. Look in Luke chapter 10, for example, and I want you to look at just a few verses in this passage. And this is one day Jesus is traveling along, and he and his disciples. Can you imagine Jesus sending somebody along? Because he was always sending messengers before he was going somewhere. And can you imagine him coming to your house and saying, well, dear, let me tell you, the master has said, we're coming to lunch at your house. Who's we? Well, Jesus and all 12 of us, 13. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but it implies that. And they must have been preparing. And so look, if you will, in this 38th verse of this 10th chapter of Luke. Scripture says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She was the elder one of the two. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and so she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Can you identify with that? Some of you can. The others can, but you won't admit it. Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, Martha is the elder one, and they've been in the kitchen working, preparing for Jesus to come. So that was not a surprise. And Mary had been helping her, or she would not have said that she's left me. So she'd been helping her. Jesus and the disciples arrive. And so as soon as Jesus sat down, pretty quickly after that, Mary sits down at his feet and begins to listen to him. And the Bible says in the 12th chapter of John that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So they had a wonderful relationship, a godly relationship. And so Mary shirks her responsibility as far as Martha's spirit and attitude is concerned. And if you'll notice what Martha came out and said, in fact, she's the only one except Peter who would say something like this, I think. She said, Lord. Now, she didn't say, now, Lord, do you so? No. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Then she was reprimanding Jesus. She was reprimanding him and saying, how can you sit there and talk to her when she ought to be in the kitchen helping me? Here's the difference. When Jesus showed up, Mary immediately saw this awesome opportunity to be close to him, to listen to him, to learn from him, to watch him, to feel his love, to be sensitive to him. She saw this as an opportunity. Now, it would have been fine if Martha had come sit down beside her. Because, in other words, food to Jesus wasn't really all that important. They could have, when they finished, they could have gone ahead and finished with the meal. But Martha couldn't handle that. Mary saw that as an opportunity. Now, I want you to listen carefully. She saw it as an opportunity to get to know him better, to learn what he's really like on a one-to-one basis, where just the two of you are talking. Wouldn't you have loved to sit down with Jesus, just you and him, and just talk and listen to him? In fact, not much talking, but a whole lot of listening, and feel his compassion and his love. Let me talk to you about an opportunity you have. Every single one of us has the same opportunity every day. When you get up in the morning, you have a copy of the Word of God. You can open this book and you can read some of the things that Jesus said. You can see how he responded. You can see how he treated people. You can see how he forgave. You can see those whom he criticized. In other words, you can learn an enormous amount sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ by yourself, if necessary, with an open Word of God. Listen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels that tell us everything that God knew we needed to know about what Jesus said, how he responded in situations and circumstances. Every single one of us has that opportunity. She didn't have a bit more opportunity than we had. In fact, we have a better opportunity because she was caught up in her society, in the surroundings in which she lived, and the age in which she lived. You and I have 2,000 years of history and experience, and we have this awesome book called The Word of God, the Bible, so that everything I need to know about him is in here. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you taking advantage of that opportunity? Do you start your day with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Word? Do you begin the day reading his Word and asking him to give you direction for the day and to give you guidance and to make you sensitive to his will and his purpose and his plan? Make you sensitive to opportunities that come your way. In other words, do you begin the day sitting at the feet of Jesus? You say, well, I can't. 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the Word of God lying before you. You can talk to the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and he listens to you personally. He'll meet every single need that you have. He'll give you guidance and direction. He'll bring you to some passage, something that he said, or maybe something that one of his apostles said, to give you guidance for that day. You have the same opportunity that Mary had, only you have it a little bit better. Because, watch this, her conversation with Jesus was limited. Your conversation with Jesus and his Word is unlimited. You can read as long as you want to. You can come back to it during the day or at nighttime. You can wake up in the middle of the night and you can talk to him. He's listening. You have that opportunity. Probably one of the greatest sins of believers today is that we are too busy to seize the opportunity of spending time with the Son of God, which affects every aspect of your life. Now, you spend time with your wife or your husband, your children. You spend time with your friends. You either play golf or you fish or you do this or you do that, whatever it might do, whatever committee you may be on or whatever group you may belong to. How much time do you spend with the Son of God? Do you take advantage of the most wonderful opportunity you could possibly have? If you're sitting here and you're under conviction, that is the proper response to this message. For the simple reason, you have an opportunity. Listen, nobody's going to take that away from you, at least now. You have an opportunity with Him every day. Well, let's move on to some of these others because they all apply to us in different ways. And I think about this, looking at Luke, the fifth chapter for a moment, another incident that is familiar, and I chose the familiar ones on purpose. One day, Jesus was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law, scribes, sitting there. He was in this house, and the house is full of people, jam full. And so the scripture says that in the 18th verse, now, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down before the Lord. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Now, here's the issue. These guys knew their friend was a paralytic, could not walk, could not go anywhere. They loved him. They said, "Jesus is close by. We're going to get you to Jesus because we hear He heals people from all kinds of disease and sickness, and He can raise them from the dead. We're going to get you there." So they get to the house. House is full. People standing outside probably, and so they couldn't get in. Now, the normal reaction would have been, "Well, I'm sorry we couldn't get you in. We tried. We thought we got here on time. The place is full. He's got all these important people, scribes and Pharisees and other folks in there. And so I guess we'll just take you back home. Really sorry." No, they saw this as an opportunity. Now, here's what I want you to see. Some opportunities will be difficult to deal with. Some opportunities will be hard. Some opportunities will be a challenge. Now, what you have to ask is this. If this is an opportunity, am I going to give up and quit just because it's difficult? Am I going to give up and quit because there seems to be a hindrance or a barrier here? And these fellows said, "No, we are not." So what do? They climb up on the roof, and they start tearing the roof up. Now, they could have said, "Well, we couldn't possibly do that because Jesus would get so upset. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And He's down there teaching all these important people. And surely we're not going to break up and we're not going to disturb Him." They saw an opportunity for Him to heal their friend, and they weren't quitting. They just start pulling the tiles loose, and I suppose Jesus began to see the dust coming down, heard all that, and He just sort of stopped, and everybody stopped. They just kept pulling the tiles away. Then they let Him down right in front of Jesus. Well, did that disturb Jesus? No. He was blessed, because He saw that these men had saw an opportunity for Him to heal their friend, and they weren't going to stop under any condition till they got him to Jesus. Now, you say, "Well, you think I'm going to have an opportunity like that?" Now, yours will be harder, probably. I can think of things much harder. Here's the issue. When you see an opportunity, watch this, an opportunity to do the right thing, an opportunity to do a good thing, an opportunity to do what God's called you to do, an opportunity to affect somebody else's life, are you going to see it as an opportunity and have a little handicap here or there and so forth? And so you're going to say, "Well, maybe I misread God." That's the poorest excuse. That is a pure compromise. That's the work of the devil. "I guess I made a mistake. I guess God didn't really want us to bring you over here because the Lord already knew that He was going to be busy and wouldn't have time for you. Besides that, we're just causing all this commotion." They didn't say that. They saw an opportunity, watch this, and they loved this man enough to listen, to be rejected, to cost them money, whatever's necessary. They loved him enough to get him to Jesus to get healed. And not only did he get healed, he got saved. Sins were forgiven. Jesus healed him right in front of everybody. The person who got rejected was not those guys. The person who got rejected was Jesus for healing him and forgiving him of his sins. You say, well, I don't think I'd ever get in that kind of situation. You don't know that. You have no earth. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that you could take one of your friends, somebody that you love dearly, and you had to travel a very, very long ways to get them healed, would you do it? I'll tell you how you can answer that question. It depends upon how much you love them. If you really love them, you'll do whatever's necessary. The more you love them, the further you'll travel. The more you love them, the more money you'll be willing to pay. Jesus gives us awesome opportunities. And then we have to decide. Am I going to seize it? Not how much do I have? How long will it take? What will it do? In other words, all the excuses we can come up with. We have to lay that down. An opportunity is a favorable time in which God wants to work in our life for us, but also for someone else. What do you think those guys thought about on their way home rejoicing? Listen, they threw that cot away. They were going home praising God and thanking him for healing and thinking, you know what? We don't care how much it costs to put those tiles back. We'll put them back and we'll pay for somebody else to put them back. Our friend is healed. Praise the Lord. They took advantage of an opportunity that looked like it couldn't work. And what I'm saying to you is again and again and again, and that's this. And that is, we're to be careful about the life that we live and how we walk it. We are to be wise about our decisions, and we are to be, listen, we are to be alert to opportunities that God just stares us right in the face. Most of the time, there's no warning. Most of the time, all of a sudden, you see there's an opportunity. For example, you go to work tomorrow morning, and somebody walks in and says, I've had the most difficult weekend of my entire life. Boing. Did your antennas go out? Are you alert to an opportunity right then for God to use you to do what? To encourage somebody. Opportunities are all around you. And one of the reasons that some people's life is so dull is because their eyes are closed. They walk around like this all the time and wondering why God isn't doing something fantastic in their life. Because they're not seeing the opportunities. We all have them. They're all around us. We can miss them if we are so wrapped up in ourselves, or we can miss an opportunity by excusing ourselves or defending some reason that we don't have. The man's life was changed. But those four men, their life was changed. Their life was changed likewise. So then I think about this whole opportunity to witness. Think about this. The Apostle Paul, I'll just mention several things. First of all, when he was in jail at Philippi, and the jailer came out and said, what must I do to be saved? Well, there's an opportunity for the Apostle Paul right in his face. Here's a man who's saying, tell me how to get right with Jesus Christ. Took advantage of it. Paul traveled the whole Roman world. What did he do in the world in which he traveled? He was continually sharing Jesus Christ in all kinds of situations. Now, the Philippian jailer, that was an easy one for him. When he got to Athens, for example, in Greece, he knew about these philosophers meeting up there on Mars Hill and all the talk and so forth and the Acropolis and on and on and on. And he had seen these statues said to an unknown God. And they were up there with their philosophy about life and so forth. So Paul, he just sees this as an opportunity. He could have said, well, now, they're not going to listen to me. They've got so many gods already. They've got one they can't even name. They don't know who he is. So they say to an unknown God. So why would I want to get in the middle of that? Paul just says, here's the great opportunity. So he walks right into the middle of them. He stirs up a little conversation, and he preaches this awesome sermon in Acts to them, and takes advantage of an opportunity to present. He says, look, you don't know who this God is. You've got this statue to an unknown God. I've come to tell you who he is. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, and the only Savior of the world. And to talk about the cross and what Jesus Christ did. He took advantage of an opportunity that didn't look like one because it was so shut and dried up with these philosophers who thought, who is this guy showing up telling us about a man who was crucified and rose from the grave? And so they didn't listen to him very well. And when he left, well, what did he do? Here's what Paul didn't do. He didn't say, well, now, if I think they'll listen to me, I'll talk to them. But if I don't think they will, I'm not going to. That wasn't the issue. The issue is this. He had an opportunity to say to a group of men who did not believe in Jesus Christ, who was not really aware of who he was. He just said, here's an opportunity, and I'm going in. And he told them exactly the message they needed to hear. Now, everybody that you meet who needs Jesus is not going to be all that pleasant. In other words, they're not always going to want to hear what you have to say. So you have to ask yourself this question. I meet somebody who's unsaved. This is an opportunity. It doesn't mean I only have an opportunity if I can get them saved. If they're not saved, and I know it, I have an opportunity. I may only be able to say to them, well, tell me where you're from. Where did you go to church that don't go to church? How's everything going with you? Pretty good, not too good. In other words, listen, you can start with anybody who is unsaved. And if you have the right spirit and you realize it's an opportunity, God will use your fumbling and your bungling to do something in their heart. And you know what will happen? They'll think they're not very smart, but I really couldn't argue about that. I'm not impressed by that so-called Christian, but I did hear what he said. You see, you're not responsible for that. You and I are responsible for telling it. We're responsible for living it and telling it. They're responsible for their response. And so, if you and I are not taking advantage of our opportunities to tell people about Christ, it's because either we feel like there's something in our life that's not right, or we're afraid, or we think that somehow somebody's not going to listen, and that's not an issue at all. We're not responsible for that. Well, let me give you a couple more right quick. The 19th chapter of Luke is another story that we know really well. So I want you to turn there for just a moment, because here is another opportunity of a different kind. Jesus is passing through Jericho. And as a result, there's a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was very small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Now, let me tell you something about who he was. Zacchaeus wasn't just the guy who climbed the tree. Zacchaeus was a tax collector collecting taxes from Israelites for the Roman government, and they called him a publican and a sinner because they saw him as a traitor. And if somebody said, well, do you know who Zacchaeus is? Yeah, I do. He's a traitor. He's an extortionist, because they did take more than they supposed. That's how he got his part. He's an extortionist. He's a sinner. He is a publican. He's working for the Roman government against his own people. Yeah, we know him, and we hate him. They hated tax collectors. So that's how popular he was. So he hears about Jesus coming, and he has an opportunity maybe to see him. Hadn't seen him before, didn't know anything about him much, just for things he'd heard. But here was an opportunity for him to see Jesus. And he had strong curiosity. So he goes out on the street, and he tries to, because the Bible says he's real short and he couldn't see over the crowd. So he tries to get up in the front. And they see who he is. You're not getting by me. Because they hated him. They saw him as a thief to some degree. So nobody let him in. So he could have said, well, I guess there goes my opportunity to ever see Jesus. May not come back this way again, which he didn't. But he refused to give up his opportunity. He ran ahead, the scripture says, and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree would be easy to climb. So he climbed up so he was above everybody else. And so here is his opportunity. Now, isn't this just like Jesus? I love this. Remember with Bartimaeus' story, that here he was walking among, Jesus walking among crowds, and poor old blind Bartimaeus, a nobody over here, cries out to Jesus, and Jesus stopped, called him to him, and healed him. Now, here is the most hated man in town, up a tree, and remember, in those days, no dignified person would ever even run in public. let alone climb trees. And so here's Zacchaeus up the tree watching Jesus pass by. And what do you think happened? Of all the people in town, when he saw Zacchaeus, he stopped and said, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going home to eat lunch with you today." He came down, and what happened? He said, "Well, how do we know he really got saved?" Here's how you know. He said, "I'm going to give back four times what I've taken." He talked about what he, how he was going to give away so much of what he had because he knew that some of it was dishonest. And when he finished confessing and repenting of his sins, Jesus said, "This man, he's become a believer." Now, suppose Zacchaeus had said, "Crowds are too big. I can't get in. I guess this was my chance, and I missed it. And so, let's go back." He saw an opportunity, and he wasn't going to let some excuse keep him from seeing the Lord Jesus. Changed his life. And think about it. We're still talking about him. We don't know any of those Pharisees and Sadducees. We don't know anybody else's name, that whole crowd. The only person we know is Zacchaeus. He took advantage of an opportunity to meet Jesus, and we're still talking about him. What would you have done that day? Would you have said, "Well, we might as well go home. We can't see him"? Or would you have said, "Here's an opportunity of a lifetime, and I'm not going to miss it"? I wonder how many opportunities you have missed because somebody didn't like it. Somebody was in the way. You thought it cost too much. In other words, you missed a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And you see, it changed his life. Can you imagine the testimony that he had in town when he started giving people back what he had taken from them because of his relationship to Jesus Christ? He became, listen, think about this. Not only did he get right with God, he became the most popular man in town and the strongest witness to who Jesus was by a transformed life. Opportunities every day. Every different facet of life in all kinds of situations, circumstances. And then I would just come to one last one, and that is everybody knows him. We don't know him for a good reason, but we know him in the 10th chapter of Mark. And you remember what's going on. Scripture says in the 17th verse, as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, so Jesus said, "What about the Ten Commandments?" So he listed a few of those, not the first ones, but the last six. And so he said, "What else can I do?" It was all doing. Now, here's the things I have done, as so to speak, to deserve it. What must I do? And Jesus, knowing what the issue was, that he not only had riches, his riches had him. And so he said to him, he said, "Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." Look at the difference. Here was an opportunity to have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he rejected it over something material that would one day pass away, and he had nothing left. So I'll ask you a question. Would you happen to be one of those persons who has heard the gospel many, many times, but you have refused the opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to repent of them? You have turned down Christ's offer of salvation. You have refused to seize an opportunity to have the gift of eternal life. I don't know what your reason's been. Doesn't make any difference. It's a poor decision. Let me just say this. It's one opportunity. If you miss, you'll spend eternity suffering the consequences. That's not what I think. That's what God says. And the reason this man's in the scriptures is a warning as to where riches can capture a person's life. Blind them to truth. Blind them to reality. Blind them to the consequences of disobedience and sin. Jesus never criticized him. He just knew that his God was in his hands and that he could count it. And he walked away and turned down the most important opportunity anyone ever faces. The opportunity to receive Christ, to have the gift of eternal life, and to have Christ as your friend, your Savior, your Lord. Is that where you are? You've heard the gospel many times. You say, well, I never saw it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And remember this, it's a passing opportunity. You will not always have the opportunity. So what will you do about it? The wisest thing you can do is this. Is confess to Jesus that you're a sinner, because you know you are. Confess to him that you've wasted a lot of your life. That you've let other things take his place in your life. That you have rejected over and over and over again the message of the gospel. You've heard it and watched it on television. You've heard it on the radio. You've heard it from your friends. But you've never been willing to take advantage of the opportunity. If you're willing to ask him to forgive you for that and tell him that you believe that his death on the cross was for your sins and he paid your sin debt in full on the cross and that he's the Son of God and that you're accepting him as your personal Savior and surrendering your life to him, that will be taking advantage of the most important decision you'll ever take. To turn it down one more time could be your last opportunity. You say, are you trying to scare me? If I could, it would get you into heaven, I would. But I can't. But you have no assurance that you'll ever hear it again. The wisest thing you can do, wherever you are, is to make a decision right now to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Surrender your life to him and let him work and live through your life. And that is my prayer. Father, how grateful we are that you're patient with us, that you're loving, you're kind, you're forgiving. And I pray the Holy Spirit this morning, not will but has already deeply penetrated every single heart to think about these opportunities that we've mentioned, knowing that there are numerous opportunities that are unmentioned. I pray that every person here would consider seriously each of these, especially what Jesus said to Mary and to Martha. This is the most important. Let there be confession and repentance this morning over failure to spend time each day with you in meditation and prayer, learning from you. Let there be confession and repentance, God, over opportunities to bear witness but fail to do so. And many other things that may come into our life. We want to be godly people. We want you to have your way in every single opportunity, and we want to seize them courageously, confidently, that you will work at the great benefit to us and the people involved. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of life's best opportunities is the chance to experience a more intimate walk with God. When you visit our website at intouch.org, you'll find great resources to help you grow in your relationship with Christ by clicking on Next Steps, a collection of material designed to help further your study in God's Word. Order today's message, When Opportunities Appear. Get Life Principles Notes, a free download of highlights from today's message. For more resources, check out this week's sermon notes. They're online, along with more great teaching from Dr. Stanley at intouch.org.
What door is God opening in your life?
When God calls you to do something, it's an opportunity. It isn't just a responsibility. It isn't just a calling from God. It is an opportunity to serve the living God. Tell me something any higher in life than that.
See the opportunities God's planned for you with Dr. Stanley's four-message set, Opportunities Before Us, available on compact disc or DVD.
Bring life to your Bible study with the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible. Enjoy God's Word and find answers to life's questions, life lessons and examples, and a guide to the 30 life principles. Call toll-free or visit intouch.org.
All Scripture is God-breathed, teaching us what is true and equipping us to do what is right. Originally written in Hebrew and Greek, the Bible was translated into about 500 languages by the year 500. Each manuscript was painstakingly copied by hand.
Well, I think about one of the things that happened in society that made an awesome difference in the Word of God was the invention of the printing press back in the 1450s, somewhere thereabouts. All of a sudden, the Word of God could become a part of man's possession. A person could have a portion of Scripture.
With the Gutenberg press, Bibles could be mass-produced and the Word of God spread like never before. Celebrate the 400th anniversary of the Bible's English translation with Book of Books. This four-part audio set from Dr. Charles Stanley tells the story and reveals the power of God's Word. Order your set at intouch.org.
People ask me oftentimes, well, if you're going to photograph, what are you going after? Well, this morning is a perfect example of something I would never go after. And that is a burnt-out forest with a bunch of flowers in front of it. I wouldn't have thought about such a thing. But I walked along that path, and I saw that, and I thought, would this make a good photograph or not? What would you say? Is that the best you can do? I think it's beautiful, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought, following death, there's life. And those old dark dead trees and all those beautiful flowers in front of it, just a reminder how good God is. Because the truth is, all of us looked like that forest before we got saved. And now, after we've been saved, He's been working on us ever since, fertilizing us, cultivating us, pruning us, shaping us into what we ought to be like. And so the wonderful thing about the grace of God, He never gives up on a child of God. And when I looked at that, I thought, here is a beautiful picture of God's goodness and love and mercy and grace. That no matter how bad the background is in our life, look what He can do when He works in our hearts. Amen.
Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley is a presentation of In Touch Ministries. This program is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.